Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. And kind of unrelated, the truth is coming back to TV, I hear. The X-Files has been given like a 6-episode season or something? I don't know. Not that we're going to cover that, but I think revisit? Without the X-Files, we wouldn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. doing some of the stuff they're doing.
Oh, agreed. So, well, I kept telling you, it was out there somewhere.
So, we had a very exciting episode. I was really pleased they got right into what was all the major questions on my mind after last week. So why don't we go ahead and just start discussing this particular episode here, Josh?
All right, I'll tell you what it's about, but I really wish you wouldn't stare.
Oh, apologies.
You know, that's okay. I can't see you anyway, so it's okay.
It's just the external changes. You know, it's not as important as what's inside.
As what's inside? Okay. Well, what's inside is a burrito, so
excellent.
I think it's all good for a little while anyway. all right, well, let's talk about One Door Closes. That's the name of the episode, of course. We're not talking about doors tonight, but instead, this episode, which aired on March 31st, 2015, was episode 15 from season 2. 15. Okay. I'm not going to keep talking about how close we're getting to the end every week because it gets me more anxious.
It's only 7 episodes. It's, you know, we're about 2/3 of the way through now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, One Door Closes was written by Lauren LaFranc and Rafe Judkins. It was directed by David Solomon. So where were you on the day S.H.I.E.L.D. fell?
Oh,
do you remember where you were?
Yeah, that takes me back. Like, yeah. 12 months.
Yeah. I think I was at the movies.
You know somewhere. What? I think I was at the movies as well. That's
what a coincidence. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you where Bobby and Mac were. They were fighting to save an important S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. Had a lot of important stuff on it. And they were also with an injured Agent Gonzalez in tow. And they disobeyed Nick Fury's abandoned ship orders, and they fought their way to the victory. That was pretty good, actually. I would have them on my team. They would be on my fantasy S.H.I.E.L.D. team. but now Gonzalez has taken over Coulson's base too, and he's confessed to our new director how he feels about Coulson's resurrection, Fury's command style, and of course the future of the real S.H.I.E.L.D. TM. But Gonzalez may not realize how many people are loyal to Coulson because Fitz and Simmons fight alongside him, May helps him escape, and Skye tries to get away from this new threat. But a new friend named Gordon may just take her away from both S.H.I.E.L.D.s. So Coulson is running out of allies, but, you know, we'll have to see what he's going to do. And where's Hunter ended up anyway, right? It's just not looking good for Coulson this week. Unless, of course, you like Tahiti.
And Pretty Little Umbrellas.
Pretty Little Umbrellas. There's a plethora of sun, drink, and lots of umbrellas.
Yep. Again, 2/3 of the way through the season, this is, they're starting to pick up speed again. And I feel that, you know, again, as we've talked about, there were some slow moments going earlier in season 2, you know, before the break. And I'm, again, really interested to see how this is going to tie into Avengers Age of Ultron, if it is. I assume it will in some fashion. It seems like Ultron will be a global enough threat that it will affect the S.H.I.E.L.D. teams in some way or another.
Yes, yes. And the events of these episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. seem to reflect some, you know, some past comic storylines that could tie into what we expect to see in future Marvel movies too. So, yeah. You know, they're like you say, it's all connected.
It is all connected. Hashtag. So, well, in news this week, I don't have too much to go on, but I did find something cool out. So I was, this is not quite the same as Googling yourself, I guess, which I only do at home, in the privacy of my own room. But I was looking to see what other celebrities share my birthday, which is coming up here in the middle of April, because I'm going to be at a Star Wars convention, and I knew that one of the Star Wars actors that's actually going to be there shares my birthday. So I wanted to see if anybody else was. Guess who I found out has a birthday on my birthday?
Somebody else has a birthday in the middle of April.
Yeah.
And we're talking S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm guessing it's one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. people.
That's pretty. You can click on that link right there. So it's Chloe
right,
Webb.
Yes. Chloe Webb. What do you know?
Sorry, not Chloe Webb. She was. Wasn't that the girl from the Vietnam movie about the hospital on the beach, China Beach? I meant Chloe.
Chloe Webb. Chloe Webb. I don't know. Chloe Bennett.
Yeah, there you go.
Chloe Bennett. What do you know? Sky herself, huh?
Yep. Born on my birthday quite a few, well, much, many years later, so.
Oh, you guys aren't about the same age or anything like that?
No.
Oh, hey, but you could have fooled me. You look great.
The K-pop sensation herself. I'm hoping she'll be at the Star Wars convention coming up here, and then I can go, hey, it's our birthday. Like, we should go celebrate or something like that.
Well, so. We'll invite her. We'll invite her. Tell her there's cake.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not quake, but cake.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there.
We should get her a birthday quake.
You know what? You should draw her a birthday quake and post it on her Twitter or send it to her Twitter for
that is
for
a great idea.
Make a note.
I'll get right on that.
Birthday quake. So anyway, as I mentioned here, Josh and I will be at the Star Wars Celebration Anaheim on the weekend of April 16th through 19th with my aforementioned birthday. And if you look for us there, you can get a button from us with our podcast logo on it. We also may have some ones from Agent Carter as well. So you can check our Twitter and Facebook feeds this week and next, and we'll give you the details on how to find us, and you can see what the button art looks like. And if you're going to be out there, stop by and... what was it last week, Josh? You said make sure to come over and say hello to you, and I said I would just hand out a button, I believe.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I you can say at least hello, or hey you, I'll take. And are you still going to be standing behind me, or you're just wherever you are, you'll give him a button.
Wherever I'm at, I will just appear. All you have to do is say. Jay.
Gordon.
I don't respond to Gordon. That's not my
name. You don't respond to Gordon?
No.
I thought that was like a Shazam thing, you know, where it's like, all right, we'll say Jay.
I was going to say, and since we're talking about one door closes this week, maybe we can say, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? No, not that kind of door, right?
Sure. Yeah. I was going with you. Come on.
Okay. I didn't hear the tambourine
all right,
kick
here's,
in. So.
Here's how you get... Sorry, it's across the room. I can't reach it. Here's how you get a button from Jay. You just got to sing a Doors song. Does that
wow.
sound good?
Yeah. I was heavy into Doors in my college years. So, all right. Well, so anyway, that was a very long, strange trip there, even though that's a Grateful Dead reference. Why don't we get back to talking about One Door Closes, which is,
One Door Closes.
As you mentioned, the 15th episode of Season 2 here. So many of you are probably familiar with the phrase, when one door closes, another opens. I know I was, but what I did not realize is there is more to that quote, and I did not realize who the quote was by. I thought it might have been, you know, like Plato or something like that. You know, just, it, you know, it seems like it's a really just old kind of quote. And it is. But the full quote is, "When one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which is opened for us." And that's from Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the graham cracker, obviously. No, I'm sorry, the telephone.
I had no idea that's who that quote was from.
I didn't either.
That's fascinating.
So now, right. Again, my source is the internet. I'm assuming that I did my, you know, I didn't check three sources, though. I just kind of grabbed the first one that came to
Well,
came to
you know, me, as so. Abraham Lincoln said, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. So
that is true. I believe he did say that. I think it was Captain Picard was telling us that at one point.
But it's interesting. So when one door closes, another opens. That fits completely for Alexander Graham Bell, I'm sure, in his inventing profession, I guess. He often had to do that. That's the whole idea of you know, the invention process is when something happens or something goes wrong, something else is going to occur to help you progress.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Thomas Edison who had talked about the most important part of any one of his inventions was the, you know, hundreds of failures that led up to that particular invention. Because without those, he wouldn't invented anything.
Yep.
So.
Yep. He didn't fail. He found 1,000 things that didn't work, right?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what it was. So.
Well, it seems like our heroes are in the midst of something very similar, at least we hope.
Yeah, and you know, and Coulson's been thinking that, you know, things have, you know, are not going well. He has some reservations, I guess, last week about, you know, for example, leaving Sky up at the retreat at that cabin in the woods. But the what I was thinking when I read this quote, the thing that pops into my head is the real shield movement, because that was the crux, I think, of the majority of this episode. It was, what are Mac and Bobby doing on the plane in trying to get Gonzalez and his team on board? Sorry, not on the plane, in the SSR bunker. And then all the flashbacks to how did that team survive, which, you know, is common during shows of this genre nature. A lot of times we'll spend, you know, a good part of a season seeing how a particular character fared or a group of characters fared through something. I know Lost did this. I know Battlestar Galactica would do this. And then they'll pick one episode through in a season, and then they'll do a flashback to another group of characters going through the exact same time period, kind of paralleling our main characters. Again, Lost did that a lot with the tail section folk. But,
right. Well, it fits really well with this show because of what they were flashing back to, you know, when S.H.I.E.L.D. fell, when Hydra started taking over from Captain America Winter Soldier. There's so many parts of the Marvel Universe that are affected by that. That it is kind of important to see some of the different characters and how they got to where they are now after that day.
And I think there are just a lot of important stories that can be told from that time frame. I think there were a lot that got wrapped up here. And as we are introduced to new characters, I mean, it was, you know, it's kind of convenient that the majority of these characters were together. But we didn't see Agent Weaver. She was at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what was going on with her, because obviously she was fighting with an enhanced. So Hydra actually pulled a superhuman character and set it loose on the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. But so with the way that the real S.H.I.E.L.D. is working and kind of the ideologies, which I think we got into a little too discussing last week when Gonzalez was talking to Hunter about why his shield is the real shield and why Coulson's shield is not. I feel like we got that revisited maybe in a little bit more depth because Gonzalez actually has a dialogue with Coulson in this particular episode. But, it seems like Gonzalez and his team, they were kind of focusing on that door closing and kind of what they lost. And they're missing the bigger picture of what's going on here. And, again, that's just kind of my opinion. I kind of wanted to get your take on Gonzalez and his mission, I guess, that, or at least as he perceives it.
I think you can look on that one door closing thing from a couple different points of view. Yeah, I absolutely think as the helicarrier was going down, right? That one door was definitely closing, and like you said, he was looking at it as what did you say? Like as kind of the downfall of just maybe all of S.H.I.E.L.D., but definitely
of their way
what
of
he
life.
Was in charge of. Yeah, yeah. But when Bobby shows up, you know, she's not ready to close that door. And while it's still a door still is closing, she wants to keep the one open that reflects her way of life, which I think she kind of does. And she convinces Gonzalez to keep the analogy going, to go through hers. And she convinces, I guess it was Mac that convinced her, wasn't it? Mac convinced her to change her mind, and then they all convinced Gonzalez.
Gonzalez,
to change her mind.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's more the way that it ran.
Right, right. But so the point is, like, you know, what Alexander Graham Bell was saying, you know, when one door closes, another opens. They just new doors and new opportunities kept opening. As a matter of fact, it seems as almost if they had a choice of doors. You know, they got through one and they had to choose which way they were going to go. Are they going to abandon the ship so Hydra doesn't get it? Or are they going to try to fight? You know, and if they do fight and they lose, then what happens? You know, I mean, so there's all different kind of options. This was definitely, a crossroads, you know, or you had to, whatever they chose right there was going to set the future on a particular path.
And then Agent Monty Hall came in and offered them a third way.
And they were all dressed in chicken costumes and things. Going back to Gonzalez there, and the Alexander Graham Bell quote says, "But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which is open for us." I think it took Gonzalez longer than anybody else to get to that point, because I think he was kind of, this isn't a really good description of anything Edward James Olmos does, but he was almost kind of moping about it, about trying to fight. You know, he didn't want to fight. He said, "No, these are our orders. It's too late. You know, we have to."
He was in a lot of pain. He had an axe into his leg. No,
I
know.
I'm not saying he wasn't justified in it. Like I said, moping's not a good word. But I mean, it took him longer to be convinced that it was possible than anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I feel that. I like the stuff that I saw in the flashbacks. I thought it was really interesting to see them survive. I did feel in the scene you were discussing where Mac kind of convinces Bobby to change her mind, and then they all kind of convince Gonzalez. So they were fighting basically for survival. And that's where the episode starts. Mac is trying to protect these other people, you know, his friends, especially what was his name? Tim is the one that ended up getting shot at the beginning because he was a, quote, liar. And then slowly everybody starts joining together. And then, you know, Bobby and Izzy come and save Mac. and the two other no-name S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that went with them. And then they all find Gonzalez, and then Bobby's like, okay, well, we've got that taken care of. She's got her mission, which she's been told by Fury, she says, that she's got a mission where she has to proceed. And it's got like a two-prong mission, which reminded me very much of Natasha Romanoff's Black Widow character in Captain America. They're invading the boat in Captain America Winter Soldier at the beginning of the movie. And then she disappears, and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, okay, Fury gave me another mission. And she was supposed to retrieve some data off the boat. So I saw a parallel between Mockingbird and Black Widow. And then we get to the point where everyone's then going to go with Bobby to kind of protect her. And Izzy gives them actual hope. She says, well, hey, you know, a bunch of agents just took back the top deck. We might actually be able to save this boat, which, spoiler, they actually do, because we saw that's the ship that they're on, presumably, in last week's episode, right? I mean, that's what I took from the whole thing, right? Okay. So they, you know, they're trying to retake the boat, but Bobby has her orders to go and basically blow up all the weapons on the boat and basically scuttle it. It would take care of all the Hydra agents, but it would also take out all these great S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that you've got on there. I mean, and, you know, just from a, what do I want to say, you know, from a cost perspective, that's a lot of good, you know, manpower and intelligence and leadership potential and stuff like that, that you'd be wiping out. But she seems convinced that she needs to follow orders up until Matt kind of says, you know, I don't think, you know, why does it have to be the way that it's always been? And I felt that scene was a little awkward. I almost felt like Mac was saying something and Gonzalez went against him by saying, you know what, we all have our orders. You can't just pick and choose what to do.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you know what? Boom. And she snaps the chip in half. I felt like, and it's just kind of the way it was shot, and again, this goes back to my trust issues with the show. I can never take anything on face value anymore with this particular show. But I feel like she was being set up to make that decision for some reason, because she is kind of, she's the outlier in Real S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel Mac is hardcore. He is with Real S.H.I.E.L.D. And like he told Coulson, I mean, he's with S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's not a lie, but it just happens to be the real S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you get any weird take on that particular scene?
Yeah, I didn't feel weird about it. What I got from that is a lot of character description of Bobby. She, to me, is the epitome of what I believe a real hero would be, a lot like Captain America, right? Where you do your duty. You are loyal. You are strong. You fight to your death if necessary. But you always try to do what's right. And taking orders or following whoever's in charge, whether it's an entire organization like S.H.I.E.L.D. or one person like a Nick Fury, isn't always the right thing. And so you have to make that decision of what you believe is truly right. Okay. And, right. And you see that in the hesitation of people. You saw it in mm-hmm. Captain America when he was realizing what exactly was going down. You see that in Bobby when she's trying to decide, look, okay, I was given orders to take this thing down so Hydra doesn't get it.
By Fury, but
I know I'm capable of saving it. I know I'm capable of taking it back and taking it away from Hydra.
With this team, even. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I thought of is, and this, I didn't really have any indication of this, or they didn't give any evidence that this may have even been like that, but thinking like a Nick Fury would, to me, it feels like Fury would say, you know, look, I don't want Hydra to get that, so sink it. But if you can get it back, go ahead and get it back. But don't take any chances. Don't let them get it back. But right. I feel like she was confident, and I think that's what Fury would have done.
And I also thought that that scene ended with a great shot of it's a very comic book looking shot where everybody was lined up kind of in a diagonal line on the left side of frame, firing their guns slow motion as the door busts open, you know, and all the Hydra agents come charging in. It was a very, it was kind of a Butch and Sundance moment or a Wild Bunch moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of like an old Western with the way that it was staged and the slow motion of the action and stuff like that.
No, that was good. I love the slow motion for that scene. That was good.
And it was good to see Lucy Lawless back kicking some butt, as you had predicted she would return to the show. So good job on that.
Yeah, not the way I really predicted. I can't take any credit for that particular one.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, there's... So we were talking about Bobby and her her orders from Fury. And, you know, it's got to be tough being the director, because you have to leave certain mission elements in the hands of your operatives. And, you know, like you said, if the rest of his statement might be, well, but if you can save it, you should save it. You know, he can't, I don't think that he feels that he would ever need to be that wishy-washy or something like that. Like, I mean, he really has to be explicit about what he needs to happen and not leave those moments open to debate, because in a in sort of a command hierarchy, you don't do that. I mean, you give strict and clear orders, and that's how stuff gets handled.
I agree. I agree completely. And I think that's how he would act. But I also think that he has a handful of agents or operatives or whatever that are, that he trusts to be so loyal to him that he knows that they'll do whatever they need to do, even if it is not what he said. You know, I think Steve Rogers is like that. I think Coulson is like that. You know,
Natasha.
I don't know. Natasha, yeah, for sure. I don't know about Bobby, because we've never really seen them together.
Right.
But it seems like she would be somebody like that. You know, Coulson has that with May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, definitely.
So, I think they give the orders, they tell them what to do, but they also have the confidence in them as good agents, heroes, whatever, to do what has to be done.
That's a good point.
None of this was illustrated in any of this. This is just kind of my superhero philosophy, you know. I mean, that's kind of what I see in a hero, is you do what's right.
Well, I mean, I think you can infer a number of these things that you're talking about from the interactions that we've seen with Nick Fury and those surrounding him. And granted, he is a lying liar, and he, you know, he's got trust issues. And yes, he led S.H.I.E.L.D. into a lot of this problem. But I mean, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. and Fury are a product of their time. I mean, all of this comes out of the Cold War, and just the, you know, the spy game and everything like that. And everybody has to one up themselves. Plus, he's also trying to keep an eye in the Marvel Cinematic Universe on these superpowered individuals. And it's like, all right, well, some of them are too dangerous, so we've got to put them away. Some of them I need to track. And some of them I'm going to recruit, because that's what, you know, is good for, I don't know, I don't want to say him, but, you know, the goals that he's trying to achieve, or the protection that he's trying to achieve.
I think what you can, you know, from what you just said there, you can take a couple things from that, interpret a couple things from that. You know, one, Coulson was when he was talking to Gonzalez there, and Gonzalez was sort of I'll flat out say, you know, accusing him of things from his actions,
right.
You know, going down and destroying the city and you know, turning Sky into whatever and that, you know, he's accusing Coulson of doing bad things. He says, Coulson says, you know, we prevented Hydra from getting this. We did that. We did what we needed to do to stop the bad guys.
Right.
You know, that's the first thing that I can take from what you said. And I think it's kind of a point of view.
Oh, it is
totally looking of what they're doing.
It's
right?
Totally a point of view, and you know, what I want to kind of move into here is some of the the ideology that we got
yes.
into last week. And again, our discussion last week was Gonzalez saying things to Hunter, and then the stuff that we know about Coulson because of you know, just we've seen him here for a season and a half. So we've got Gonzalez, who, you know, makes the claim that they don't feel it's right working in the shadows or having secrets. Fury brought all of this on himself. You know, how to the argument that Coulson has, how is Fury supposed to have unknown Hydra was there? I agree that Fury was, you know, thought that Project Insight was a good idea. And he may, what's weird about that, and I'm sure we could get into some kind of debate about this with elements from the Winter Soldier, how much control did he really have over Project Insight, or was it really Alexander Pierce that was driving that project? And it was more like Fury, like, well, yep, this is a pretty good idea. I mean, we've obviously got these threats, and we need to keep an eye on stuff. And gosh knows, Fury really likes to keep his eye on things. Haha. But obviously, Pierce had an entirely different game plan for it, which Fury could not know and did not realize until it was, you know, almost too late, basically. So with the real Shield and their ideology and Coulson, who, as Gonzalez says, he is Fury made him. I mean, in the multiple senses of the word, you know, Fury groomed him as a subordinate under him, you know, putting him on all these missions and stuff like that and leading him. But also when he died, Fury brought him back to life and, you know, messed with his memory and stuff like that and treated Coulson in a way to basically groom him to take over for Fury when Fury decided to step down. Which, you know, I mean, you see that kind of stuff in organizations all the time. It's a way to ensure that the ideology of the organization continues rather than, you know, putting someone else in place. So even though there are these two different ideologies, and I feel like the show wants to try to balance those, I feel much more sympathy towards our characters than Gonzalez. I feel like pretty much everything he says is full of holes and is, you know, it's almost farcical in some of the stuff that he says, you know, for especially like, we don't want to, you know, have secrets and hide in the shadows. And it's like, you guys have been hiding in the shadows, sending moles into my team. Again, stuff we discussed last week. Am I misreading this kind of stuff? Do you think it's more balanced than I'm thinking?
No, not necessarily more balanced. I do think that they're both, you know, working towards a similar goal, and they both want to do what they believe is right. And this is the reason why I think, you know, audience.
Can you state that goal, like what you think the goal is they're working for, or did they state it in the show?
You know, that's the overall goal of being the good guys, you know, stopping people like Hydra, stopping threats to the country and the okay. agents and this organization in general.
Okay.
And, you know, just the overall good guy role.
Okay.
I really can't state it specifically because I kind of think that's what they both feel is their role in this whole thing.
Okay. Kind of their mandate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And the problem is, I think one of the reasons that the audiences are sympathetic to Coulson's group and Coulson specifically is because despite the fact he doesn't necessarily reveal everything to the agents and to us and to everybody, he's honest about his convictions. Whereas, like you said, there's so many holes in what Gonzalez is saying. Man, I tell you, he's got the right idea, and he realized that he was wrong when taking back the ship. You know, look, we did do it. We succeeded. We got Hydra off, and we didn't have to kill all these agents. Okay, great. Super. So why do you have to be so adamant about your distrust or disgust of Nick Fury?
Yeah, the disgust.
Did you pick up any other reason that he was so disgusted with Nick Fury other than, look, Nick Fury gave us the order to sink this ship. He was wrong. We saved it.
Oh, I think there may be a personal issue.
Maybe.
Between the two, but Nick Fury gave the order to sink the ship. Nick Fury caused this to happen. Nick Fury was behind Project Insight. And, you know, and Coulson pretty much shoots all these down, except for maybe the behind Project Insight, you know. But, I mean, Hydra was the one that brought S.H.I.E.L.D. down, not Nick Fury. Whether Nick Fury was on watch or Coulson was on watch or Maria Hill was on watch, when it was time, Hydra was going to reveal themselves. And, who, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things. Whoever happens to be in charge when the dookie hits the fan, you know, you rightly or wrongly, you get blamed for it, even if you had no control over the matter, you know? So I think Fury is sort of a scapegoat for Gonzalez's feelings towards S.H.I.E.L.D. And you know, he's obviously still, I mean, he's still a fan of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? I mean, he, enough that they are keeping the organization around. It'd be like, you know, you're working for or General Motors, and Lee Iacocca does something horrible and puts somebody else in place. So, you know, you think that they're done, so you start General Motors, but you're like, well, we're going to rebuild this General Motors entirely differently, and it's going to be run, you know, in a much better way. Meanwhile, Lee Iacocca is second in command, you know, is rebuilding it the same way it had been before. That's probably a really horrible analogy.
I love that you're using Lee Iacocca. It's the great General Civil Motors War.
I was talking about him the other day, so.
No, but that's exactly right. And, you know, I also think he's got, Gonzalez has these blinders up that, okay, look, Coulson wasn't with us when all this went down. You know, all these agents that are with me were with us. Bobby was with us. They know what we went through. But you weren't. So you're not part of our group. And see, that's a bad S.H.I.E.L.D. ideology or a bad way to run S.H.I.E.L.D. You have to be open to having other loyal people come in like Coulson did with Hunter and, well, supposedly Bobby and Mac and things.
Right.
But, you know, you have to be open to that. You also have to be open to the possibility that you'll be wrong about that. But if you're not, you're going to build that S.H.I.E.L.D. up and you're going to start, growing a new organization, hopefully.
Well, and Coulson said that, you know, maybe it was Fitz or Simmons said that they had tried to look for Weaver on the campus, but they had missed her. Coulson said he had spent months, looking for Gonzalez, because he thought that he would be a great person on the team, you know, and Gonzalez was just kind of like, you know, screw you. I'm like, what, you know, and I think it's funny.
Yeah, baby, I lost your number. You know, I tried to call. I tried, but I couldn't find you.
I thought it was a great scene because obviously Gonzalez, I think he, it's really hard to read Edward James Olmos because he is so cool in his scenes. I mean, he just really plays everything so laid back. But I feel like, you know, he's kind of strutting a little bit. He's proud. Hey, we were able to infiltrate you guys, you know, and Coulson comes in. He's bound. You know, he's the prisoner, yet he's the one that I feel won that entire scene, right, in terms of, like, the character that comes out on top and, you know, has the better interaction because he comes in joking about the record collection and then says, you know, oh, I know exactly who you are, and we were trying to recruit you. And, you know, Gonzalez is like, hey, look, I'm not really looking to take over here. And, you know, Coulson is just really glib and, you know, he's cool as a cucumber under the pressure. And I think if the tables were turned and Coulson's shield had invaded the helicarrier, mm-hmm. I think Gonzalez would be probably much more agitated or defensive or something like that in that same situation.
If Coulson's team was the one that rescued him?
No, if Coulson's team was the one that was like, oh, we found out about this real shield and we need to go in and, like, neutralize them because...
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, they're the ones that are, like, in charge and... But I'm the one that's ordained or whatever. Whatever you want to say, you know, because Fury...
I kind of like ordained. That actually fits pretty well. I mean, because it really was Fury who had no real power... You know, I mean, they thought he was dead. I mean, he really wasn't anybody in charge.
And well, I mean, he was still the director. If he's alive, he's still the director, right? It would be like if nobody knew that the president was still alive, but the president was still alive, he would be giving orders to people. But you could say, the president gave me this order. Well, no, the president
is dead. If nobody knows he's alive, is that still... power? Can he? I mean, he can give right. the order, but does it take effect? Really? I mean,
right?
I don't know. I mean, that'd be a matter of debate, I suppose. But
well, let me ask this: Fury seems to have left multiple sets of orders. He had orders that he had provided to Maria Hill, the Black Widow, Captain America. Obviously, this order that he gave to Bobby was during the mission, and it was probably before he went, quote, off the grid, right? So probably before he was attacked and murdered, quote unquote, because at that point in Winter Soldier, when everybody thinks he's dead, like no one ever hears from him again, except for the characters in Winter Soldier that are his closest allies. The ones that he says at the end of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one, you know, I can count my friends on one hand. And I'm not afraid to cut off some fingers. So, you know, Hill, Natasha, Falcon, and Cap. And then we've got him coming at the end of season one, a few months later, after he's vanished. Bobby has already decided not to follow his orders. And he comes back, you know, from the dead to give Coulson... the toolbox. And here's the quote from the last season of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the last episode of last season. Coulson says, you want me to start over, rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D.? And Fury says, from scratch, take your time and do it right. So that's the mandate from the man himself. Coulson is ordained as the one to carry on S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, how different is the schism that is forming within S.H.I.E.L.D. because you've got Gonzalez who is like, all right, well, we know that all these, you know, upper echelon agents have been wiped out. And so we're going to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe Gonzalez was a higher level than Coulson. We don't know that. We don't know what level he was. Coulson was 8. We know Fury was like a 10 or 11, I think.
I would say, based on where he was when they found him, and he was in charge of the helicarrier, and Coulson was an agent. He was a high-level agent, mm-hmm. but he wasn't
a commander.
Commander. So I would say Gonzalez probably was above Coulson.
My wife questioned the fact that if he's the commander of the helicarrier, he's just wearing a suit. I'm like, well, he's SHIELD. He's not wearing, like, navy whites or, you know, a commander's outfit of some kind, but...
And it's Edward James Olmos, so you got to wear a suit.
Oh, yeah. Not just like a T-shirt or something.
No. But, one of those, like the submarine baseball caps, like they wear. You know?
But like I said, there's a schism now because Coulson knows he's right. Coulson knows that Coulson is right because he got the message from Fury. And how different is it from the people in S.H.I.E.L.D. prior to Winter Soldier that thought they were, you know, that were Hydra? So, you know, they thought they were right, too. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, they were bad guys because that's how the universe and the films paint it. But from an ideological standpoint, they just had another view and they felt that, you know, the organization that they worked for was not doing the things in the correct way. So they kind of had a splinter group running under it. That's basically what the real S.H.I.E.L.D. is here. Is there a difference, do you think?
There's a difference in the way they go about doing it. I mean, Hydra is willing to do anything and kill any number of people to get what they believe is right. You know, whereas the basic S.H.I.E.L.D. Ideology is more about freedom and you know, our differences and enhance, you know, encouraging those differences. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Gonzalez is necessarily wrong. I think and how does he know for a fact that Fury put Coulson in charge? Even if Fury was above him and still had the authority, how does he know? Because when Fury put Coulson in charge, everybody else assumed Fury was dead, right?
Right. How does he know about the toolbox? That's Gonzalez what I want to know.
Yeah, that was, I was wondering about that too. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's a lot of you know, ethics questions, I guess, about who's right and who's wrong. But to me, it seems like they're both working toward the same thing. Coulson knows that. Coulson would be happy to incorporate them into his S.H.I.E.L.D. Gonzalez is not. He kind of says he is with some of the agents, but he's not willing to entertain the idea of having Coulson with him as well.
Oh, or as his superior.
Not his superior. Not even, yeah.
No. You've been changed by the alien DNA. You've died. He knows exactly what was going on because, of course, Bobby and Mac have been reporting back to him. I really want to go back now and watch some of the early episodes from the season just to see if there's anything else that was dropped as clues that we maybe had missed.
Interesting. I don't remember anything.
Well, Fitz and Simmons had some really good interplay in this episode as well, and I applaud them heartily for the scenes they put together. The first being with Fitz in the computer bay, where Mac's coming at him, and he's like, I don't want to hurt you, yet, you know, here's this hulking, you know, giant guy coming at him kind of in the dark. It's like, it's okay, man. I don't want to hurt you. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to, like, snap Fitz's neck or something like that. But
he didn't, and he ended up saving him.
But,
so,
yeah, but know. He ends up saving him, which, you know, it shows that there really is some level of respect. Mac is this really kind of gentle soul because I'm wondering if Tim, who was, again, the agent that got shot at the beginning by the Hydra agent. I wonder if he was the original Turbo, you know, because he was just a really kind of scrawny guy, very much like Fitz. It seemed like Mac was, you know, kind of taking care of him, you know, just, again, trying to protect him and everything like that. And he couldn't do it. But he is able to protect Fitz and, you know, injures himself in the process.
And but then, again, that showed you that, that he is a good guy. And, you know, I mean, it just surprised me that Mac is not seeing what Coulson really is.
I'm surprised that Mac is not questioning things in the same way that Bobby appears to be questioning things.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, given you know, given what we see he does for good, like saving Fitz, yeah. I would think he would start to see that too.
And then I love Gemma getting the drop on Bobby. I was pretty sure that was coming. I couldn't figure out what she was going to do, but it was great because, of course, Bobby, you know, doesn't want to reveal herself. And later we find out why was she going into this room, and it's to get her gas mask. That really redeemed me, redeemed Gemma with me because, again, I feel they've been putting a lot of, you know, weird vibes with her character throughout the season. And I feel like...
Well, it was just so different than her character from first season was.
Right, right. I feel that she's... I mean, I feel that she is really part of Coulson's team, that, you know, she trusts Coulson. And then you've got the fact that... when Bobby and Fitz, I mean, excuse me, when Gemma and Fitz are put together, you know, they aren't even tied up or anything. They know they're not going to be in trouble. I was waiting for them to do something else, but she reaches over and holds Fitz's hand, and he kind of holds onto it and squeezes it back at her. That was a really great scene, which, you know, I think has reunited the characters kind of back to where they were. We'll see if they start to get pulled apart from each other in future episodes here.
I can see potential. They kind of did that at the end when she got called in. You know, that seemed almost like foreshadowing.
Right. Yeah, to go help fix Mac or to give a second opinion on Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Skye, of course, is out of the picture for the majority of this. She is at her cabin. Having fun doing some water bending with her new gloves, or well, I guess without her new gloves, she's kind of focusing on some things that Gordon told her. What do you feel about Gordon? Do you think he is correct and that she should be using her powers because it's part of her? I mean, every gift has some kind of, you know, downside, but you can manage that?
Yes, I do. I think she needs to be developing them and figuring out how to, I guess you could say, control them. That's a very general way to put it. So she can be comfortable with who she is instead of always worried that, you know, she's going to explode or something. But as far as Gordon goes, you know, he's like a solicitor at your door. You know, I get a lot of solicitors at my door, and before I ever open the door up, I've already told myself I don't want what they want. I don't like the being sold things like that, right. and I'm not going to trust them. You know, maybe I've just been swindled too many times or something. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how Gordon is. It's the way he's approaching her and the way he's trying to win her over by saying, look, you know, look at what they've done to you.
Right. He's feeding her the lines. It's like, yeah, you know, I got embraced. What did you get? You know, I mean, yeah, like he already knows the answers.
And he's not wrong. But again, it's all in context.
Right.
It's just like that deal with Gonzalez and Coulson, you know. Yeah, Coulson did have alien blood in him. Yeah, Coulson did destroy this alien city. But what other choices did he have that would have been better or right? You know,
and why were you guys sitting around taking a powder?
Yeah, exactly. What did they? Hey, you know what? Maybe they've been fixing the ship for a year or something. I don't know what.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the same thing with Skye. How should they have dealt with Skye? Should they have just let her go to town on it? I mean, she could have hurt herself, killed somebody else, done a lot of damage. What choices did they have? I think that they have been, with a few exceptions, especially with the way like Simmons treated her, I think they've been pretty kind and sympathetic to her situation.
But you can definitely see, you know, the seeds of doubt are planted in her, because she's not really sure why Coulson put her there, and he's not really sure that that was the right thing to do. He was playing it safe. He was listening to his team. I mean, he's pretty much as democratic in the running of his team as Gonzalez wants to be or says he is with his team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, we've seen Coulson's team in practice. We haven't seen how Gonzalez leads people. All we know is what he says. You know, he hasn't really showed us yet what, you know, his team is made of. And you have to question them too, because, thankfully Bobby went with, the team to find Sky. You had agent, Costanza? No. Whatever, the guy from Fringe who, finds Sky, and it appeared to me he was not firing an ICER at her. That looked like a real bullet to me.
Yeah, me too.
And
even though the orders were just to fire ICERs.
Right. So if you look at the scene when they're getting off the Quinjet, he's checking something else out with his gun when the order for using ICERs is given.
Uh-huh.
So there's already something suspicious going on with him. And so, you know, was he told by Gonzalez to really take her out? Even though, hey, I'm going to tell everybody just to use ICERs, but, you know, if you get the chance, take her down because we can't protect her. Brilliant use of special effects to demonstrate her powers. That was way cool.
Yeah, great job. Fantastic.
So, We've got that, and now he's either mortally wounded or dead. I don't know how they're, you know, going to go with that sequence, but basically that has driven Sky, you know, into the arms of the Inhumans, and we'll see. So right, I feel at this point basically Coulson's lost her. Coulson's lost everything again, and
yes.
That's how we end the episode. He is on a beach, maybe in Tahiti. For reals, I'm not sure. I think he might be in Hawaii or something like that. But he's got to start all over again. And Lance Hunter, the guy who is probably the flakiest person around, he's the one guy that's there for Coulson. And I am really excited about that, because Hunter has really grown on me as a character through this season. And for all of his faults, and for all the stuff that people say about him, he is probably the most loyal person around there. I mean, you know, Bobby gives him crap for always being out for himself. And we've heard some other stories about him and you know, all the stuff that Mac and Bobby were making up while they had him captured. But, you know, he kind of always tells it like it is and does the right thing. And he kind of knows when to skedaddle as well, just to avoid you know, getting killed or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
we'll lay low until it's a good time to come back, you know.
I
do like Hunter a lot, and man, that end scene was good. I mean, he signed the contract with Coulson right on that napkin there.
Consider this my contract. And I had missed what he had signed the first time. I'm like, what was that? What does he mean? What? So I had to rewind, and I'm like, okay, he's just signing his name. I got it.
But I'm curious to see, you know, and I'm sure we'll start to see this. But what is it that is making him so loyal to Coulson? Is he seeing the things in Gonzalez that we've been talking about, or is it something else?
I think
we know yet.
Yeah, I think it may be some of that. I think it may be also, it's like, because he knows where Bobby stands now. And, you know, I think there has always been that, you know, oh, I can kind of get back with her. And he did, right? So they appear to have had this kind of off-again, on-again romance, sexual attraction thing going. They've been married. They make stuff work. And then he says something stupid, or she, you know, lies again, and then it all falls apart, and then they slowly build it back up, and then it all falls apart. I think he is probably to the point where it's like, okay, she's chosen her side. That's how it is. And you know what? I'm going to pick a side too. And cause you know, she's nuts or something like that. I don't know. I think that his decision is driven as much by Bobby as his loyalty to Coulson. And, yeah. and I think the fact that Coulson had asked him to join the team, I mean, that was, you know, that's what he said. He said, you had asked me to join up full time and I hadn't gotten back to you or whatever. And so here it is. And I feel that Bobby is also, again, I feel she's a character in play. I think that there is potential for her to.
I think they've almost just
undermined Gonzalez.
I think they've just written that out for us, given her hesitations and ways of deciding what to do, who to go with, and how to handle it. Yeah, I think they've all but spelled that out. It's Mac that I'm not sure about.
I really like Mac. I hope he sticks around some, but, well, sorry, you're not one of the regulars on the show. You're just a guest star. And that's how I come out to debate that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
Really fun episode. I'm glad they kind of sunk their teeth into this whole Real Shield thing, and I'm interested to see where it goes next week now, because there's obviously this division. You know, we've got May on the run. Fitz and Simmons are stuck with the Real Shield in the SSR base. Hunter and Coulson are, you know, starting over, whatever that means, without access, you know, potentially to any sort of weapons or intel or anything like that. And then Sky, you know, we're going to get a lot more Inhuman stuff. I think we're finally going to get a chance to see more of the city or the location where Reyna was taken and where Gordon learned about his powers, the rooms that we've seen in those flashbacks and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, did we get any feedback this week you want to talk about?
Yeah, I had one real quick one, and it was kind of a fun one to share. And you know, I think I apologize. I think we actually got it the week before, but it was worth sharing anyway. let me read you what he said here. Let's see. It says, I want to find out who it was from specifically. I didn't write that down. Okay. It was from Mark. Okay? So Mark sent us an email. Says, I was listening to one of your podcasts a while ago when you guys suggested a Thanksgiving villain named the Gobbler. I was listening, but I didn't need to do anything, so I decided to draw him. I'm not sure which podcast it was, but here it is anyway. So he sent us a picture of the Gobbler. So I'm going to post this on our Facebook page, where I expect the producers of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to see it, and I would suspect that the Gobbler was going to show up in season 3 for sure.
Oh, yeah, right at the beginning of season 3. That would be a perfect time to put him in there.
Yeah, absolutely. He may be like an ongoing villain, you know, maybe kind of thread through the entire season. So, although there might be somebody else, because Mark is planning to draw Red Tape, who apparently we mentioned in the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I don't remember Red Tape, but now I really want to know about Red Tape.
if he remembers what episode it was, let us know. We'll go back and listen.
I have to go back and check that. Sometimes I think of these things on the fly and have absolutely no idea what I'm saying. Actually, most of the time I think of these things on the fly.
Yeah, yeah. But we don't write all this stuff out. So.
No. That's he says, good. Thanks for the amazing podcast, too. So thank you very much, Mark. That was kind.
Yeah, well, thanks for the amazing picture. That was really cool. So, and so the Gobbler, he looks like a turkey. He's got kind of some, you know, wings and a little turkey head, and he's wearing a pilgrim hat, and he's got, like, pilgrim pants and kind of Spider-Man-looking booties of some kind or something like that. So humanoid with a turkey head and a...
He would scare me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, he looks delicious. Some of the references, not a lot of real comic book references here, but we got that, what I thought was one of the coolest shots, where Sky is taking the paneling off and she sees the giant fist dent in the supposedly vibranium walls there. So looked very much like... the Hulk had been hanging out at one point, and of course, I think it was Weaver references the cabin as, quote, the house that Banner built. We know that Captain America had stayed there at one point, so obviously the Hulk had stayed there at one point as well and had an episode. The boat that Gonzalez and everyone from Real Shield is on and we're trying to save is called the Iliad, named after the Homeric poem of the Iliad. In the comic books, that vessel belongs to Maria Hill. That is her boat to command. So I don't think we're going to see Maria Hill back in this season. She will be showing up in Avengers Age of Ultron. There may be some other references to her, I would think, in S.H.I.E.L.D., but we'll have to see. And then I just wanted to point this out because I did not recognize the guy, but Tim McGuire, the one who lied at the beginning, got shot by the Hydra agent, that was Mackenzie Astin, who I don't know that I've seen him do really anything for a long time. Son of Patty Duke and John Astin and younger brother to Sean Astin, a.k.a. Samwise from the Lord of the Rings.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, it did not look like him. You know, obviously he was, you know, very dirty and beaten up and stuff like that. So those were some cool things that I saw in this particular episode. And hopefully we'll have some other interesting things to talk about next week on the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. So I hope you enjoyed this one.
Yeah, and if you did, hey, make sure you leave some feedback for us on iTunes. We'd love to see that. Also, contact us like Mark did. You got some more ideas for villains, send them to us on our email, shield@randomchatter.com. Any random things. You know, I'm a growing list of vocabulary from our show. The one tonight, Nick Fury, lying liar.
Oh.
That goes right on our vocabulary list right there. Hey, also, you can get on our Twitter feed at Agents Podcast or visit our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here at randomchatter.com, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. These shows are also available through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us, share it on social media, you know, drag your, put it on in the car when you're driving people around. That's another good one.
There you go. Show off your button that you got at Star Wars Celebration that says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one as well. People go, hey, what's that? And you can tell them all about us. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.